You're listening to Managing Leadership Anxiety, Yours and Theirs, a podcast offered in partnership with Missio Alliance. Each episode, we discuss internal and relational pressures, how they block effective leadership, and how we can move through them to a greater health. And now your host, Steve Cuss.
All right, everyone. Hey, for the last couple of weeks, we've had a good time really kicking around the TV show Ted Lasso, and we've looked at it through some systems theory and through some attachment theory. And actually, today's episode, we're going to kind of stay in that vein by looking at differentiation on the screen. We're going to go through a number of movies where we look at who the differentiated character was and what makes it that way. And I'll explain why we're doing that in just a little bit. For the last few weeks, I've been traveling up a storm and have been doing a ton of workshops. I guess my most common workshop is either the three-hour half-day workshop or the all-day. And the recurring theme lately has been people really wondering, okay, we have all these tools. They'll say they'll listen to these tools and this way of thinking, but they're not quite sure where to start. Like, they come away from the workshop full. We've usually had a good time. I make sure that we really have a lot of fun. If we're going to talk about anxiety and vulnerability, fun is such an important piece. So we have a good time. I show them a way of thinking. I give them quite a few tools. But whether they've done a half day or a full day, sometimes they're just a bit stuck on, where do I begin? Where, how do I start? So I thought it would actually be helpful on this show just to tell you what I tell them. How do you begin to integrate these tools? And I've got three simple steps for you. So what we're going to do is I'll teach you those three steps. They're dead simple. I mean, it's not technical. It's just being intentional, you know? But then we're going to talk about what differentiation is, since that's oftentimes the heartbeat of what I teach. And then I think it'll be fun. I've got a number of movies that we're going to do like a rapid fire round of just where do we see differentiation in these movies, five movies today. So this is actually a fairly short episode. So when we get to the movies, we'll be really flying. But hey, it is a solo episode. Today's podcast brought by the Ivy and Wood Bergamot and Banksia candle. Now, listen, folks, when you hear the word Banksia, that should be screaming Australia. And those of you who are not Australians, first of all, I'm just sorry. That's just sad. But secondly, Australia has the best smells. I think we might also have the best sounds, if I'm going to be honest. And I'm sorry, but I think we have the best sky color. You know, when people go to Australia and they've never been before, one of the most common things they'll say to me when they get back, they'll be like, man, that sky, that color blue. And I'm like, I know. You go to Ireland for the green, you go to Australia for the blue. So here we are with the Bergamot and Banksia candle. And I'm lighting this one. And I'm lighting it by faith that this invisible, intangible God that I have put my whole life's trust in, and you have too, is real and is with us. And God is an ever-present help in time of trouble. I love Psalm 46, where the psalmist just talks about how the chaos is all around, but there is a refuge. There is a city made glad by the presence of God, and it won't break, and it won't be battered by the storms. It's strong. And so God is our refuge, an ever-present help in time of trouble. And therefore, David reminds us, we will not fear. And of course, later on in that psalm, maybe one of the most famous passages in the Old Testament where David says, be still and know that I am God. It's beautiful. Okay, so maybe you've been listening to this for a while. Maybe you've read my book. Maybe you've done some of these tools, right? Maybe you've even had me out to speak. And that was a while ago. And you're like, oh, what do I do? Like, it feels like there's so many ways. So I thought, let's just begin at the beginning. How do you integrate any of these tools? If you've been tracking with us for a while, you know that I teach a three-step process: notice, name, and diffuse. And it's always in that order. And whether you do a 30-minute keynote with me where I just come and maybe do a fundraising dinner for you or something like that, 30 minutes, or whether you do a 9-month cohort, whether you join Capable Life for a couple of years and really give yourself to this process, it's the same process. 30-minute keynote, 2 years on Capable Life, same process. Notice, name, and diffuse. We always begin with noticing. And it raises the very simple and difficult question, How do I know I'm anxious? And am I able to notice anxiety rather than catching it? That's the gift of noticing, is it kind of already, just in the act of noticing it, it gets you out of getting caught up in it, and it makes you more intentional about observing it in yourself and in others. Okay, so today, just noticing, that's where we begin. Oftentimes, if I do a workshop for a group, oftentimes the last thing I'll say is like, look, just spend the next couple of months just noticing the anxiety. Don't worry about diffusing it. Don't even worry about trying to figure out where it came from or what generated it. Just notice it. And just by noticing it, you get off the anxiety treadmill. It's really quite miraculous. So, all right, what are some ways we can notice it? Well, noticing, we have kind of a Goldilocks journey of noticing. The easiest, and this is what I'm going to encourage us to do today, is to watch it and observe it on a TV screen or a movie screen, right? Like before you go into that meeting and say, all right, this meeting, I'm not going to get anxious. That's too difficult. Or before you go back to that family member, that's really difficult. Anytime you're doing this work with family, particularly family of origin, man, that's the hardest. Let's start easy. Let's get some easy wins under our belt. All you have to do is turn on your TV. That's why today I thought I'll grab five movies where I see differentiation, because that can be your homework, right? Like you're sitting at home, you're watching a movie, you're having a great time, and someone says, you should do more work. And you're like, hey, I'm doing my homework. I'm watching a movie. The first step is always to watch it on the screen. And I would recommend you do that for a while. The good news is, there's tons of anxiety on the screen. Reality shows, TV shows, obviously Ted Lasso, what we've been focusing on lately. All right, so that's step one. Watch it first before trying to do it, right? Step one, watch it before you try to do it. All right, so let's say, okay, great. Now I want to try to do this. I want to try, you're saying to yourself, I want to try to walk into that meeting where I've always been anxious about it. And I'm going to do my best to stay human-sized and not catch the anxiety and not spread the anxiety. Okay, great. Here's what we recommend. Rather than going into that meeting trying to stay calm and connected, better, actually, to do it wrong. Like, right, just go into the meeting and get anxious and get out of there and then debrief what happened. Too many people try to take the giant step of going from learning it to mastering it. And that's unreasonable. Now, when I did my chaplaincy, it's really stunning to me that they never told us up front what to do. What they did is they threw us in the deep end, we did it wrong, and then it was through the debrief where we learned how to do it right or do it better. And in chaplaincy, because it was so intense, we debriefed every morning for 90 minutes. So we would spend all day doing it. And then the next morning, the first thing we would do before we go to our rounds is we would debrief the day before. What was it like? What happened? What did you notice? What was going on in you? All this kind of stuff. All right. So if step one is to watch it on the screen and see it in a fictional situation or a reality show, step two is just to put yourself in anxious situations and not try very hard. I know that sounds so counterintuitive, particularly those of us in the West. Or maybe you're in an Asian culture where you really value efficiency and productivity. It can be hard. We want to be so good at this, but let the process work. So step two is just put yourself in that anxious situation and get anxious. But then the key is you add a debrief. Find some people you trust and talk about it. What happened? And if you don't have a group where you can talk about it, you can debrief on your own. You and God can take some time and you can have a little think about what happened. Actually, the Calm, Aware, Present journal that we have on our website is a 12-week journal helping you notice and debrief. So you could use a tool like that. Okay, step one, watch it on a screen. Step two, do it wrong and then debrief afterwards. Okay, now you're ready for step three. Pick an anxious situation and try to do it. Pick a situation that you know will generate anxiety for you. And see if you can walk into that connected rather than reactive. See if when things are getting a little anxious, see if you can stay connected to those people rather than catching their reactivity and spreading your own. That's the three steps. That's what we teach in our courses, in our coaching. Watch it first, Second, just go and live your one wild, beautiful life and then debrief, you know, look at it in reverse in the rearview mirror. Now that you've done that, now you're ready to intentionally walk into a situation you know generates anxiety for you and see if you can manage it. Now, when you get to step three, that's when it's really important that you are good at curiosity and you're good at patience and kindness. Curiosity, patience, and kindness are some of the power tools to help you stay connected. Because if you're like me, we tend to expect ourselves to be better at something than we have time for, right? Like as soon as we start it, we say, I should be really good at this. But I'm telling you, we have lived reactive for so long, some of us for decades, that it's just going to take quite a bit of patience and kindness for us to make progress. Okay. So if that's the case, if step one is watch it on a screen, I just thought it'd be fun. I mean, here in the Northern Hemisphere, we're heading into summer or we're in the cruising into summer here. And I thought, man, let's have a little summer fun with differentiation on the screen. So let's just talk briefly differentiation. I'm going to give a simplified version of differentiation because I know on an audio podcast, it can be hard to catch a lot of information, right? So differentiation is simply the commitment to not spread or catch anxiety. That's one key piece of it. It's just you saying to yourself, look, no matter what happens, no matter what someone says, whatever they do, however they act, I am going to work on not spreading anxiety and making things worse. I'm going to manage my anxiety. Now, I'm not going to be non-anxious. One of the regrets of my book, I've heard this from other authors, it's like, man, you write the book and it gets published and then you're like, oh, now I know how I should have written it. Oh man, that's me with managing leadership anxiety. I quite regret that I use the phrase non-anxious presence in that book. You know, that's a classic systems theory phrase. I just think it's unintentionally disingenuous. I think it means well, but it's inaccurate. So what we teach isn't non-anxious presence, it's managed anxiety. You can be anxious. You're human, you're going to be anxious, you're going to get reactive, but it's managing it. So you're committing by managing it that I'm not going to spread it, but also I'm not going to catch it. And they're saying that thing, they're pushing that button, but I'm going to manage myself from catching the anxiety. So that's a key piece of differentiation. So if the first piece of differentiation is managing anxiety, then the second piece of differentiation is connection. I am going to work hard on being connected. Now, what or who am I connected to? I'm connected to myself. And that first step helps me connect to myself because if I'm managing anxiety, the only way to do that is to know what's going on in me. What are my triggers? What are my irritabilities? What core values do I hold that when someone violates them, I get reactive? So I'm going to be connected to myself. I'm going to be connected to God. Because if you remember, anxiety has this really deadly skill of displacing our awareness of God. So one of the most powerful things we can do to stop spreading anxiety is remember the Lord. Anxiety always tells us that it's all on us. It's all on me. God's not here, right? It kind of makes you forget God's with you. So connection to yourself and connection to God is huge. And then, of course, that means that now you can be connected to the other person or the other people. And this has been life-changing for me because it's this connection that has allowed me to really learn from people rather than dismiss them. I tend to be a pretty judgmental, irritable person. Those of you who know me, that might surprise you. But in my head, there's a lot of judgment and irritability. But this value of connection forces me to love my neighbor as myself, to see them as a person of dignity and respect, worth listening to. And what I've learned through differentiation is I can listen and learn and not agree because I'm also connected to my vision and values. All right, so if a key piece of differentiation is managed anxiety, and you might say that a key technique of managing anxiety is connection, knowing what's going on in me, intentionally seeking the Lord's presence, listening to learn from the other rather than listening to defend or listening to fix or listening to hijack. But also, this is really important, staying connected to my vision and values. What has God called me to do, either in my life or in this moment? And for me, that was a game changer as a people pleaser, because it's so easy for me to move off differentiation and into enmeshment and lose my vision and values so I can please you, for example. So, step one, managed anxiety. Step two, connection. And that key piece, this is where we'll really notice this in the movies, that key piece of your vision and values. For some of us, I'd even say for most of us, God has given us a mission. You know, God has wired you a certain way to do something for God's kingdom. This is your vision and values. What has God asked you to do? And who is trying to knock you off that vision and values? Now, these people, they may not be enemies or saboteurs. They may be well-meaning. Sometimes people don't want us to do the hard thing because they love us. But as we'll see in these movies, some of these movies, by the way, are true stories and some are fiction. Oftentimes the differentiated character is doing a very difficult task. Okay, and then the final step of differentiation, I think this is really important. Make sure your vision and values are connected to reality. Oh man, make sure that what you believe you must do is actually connected to God. For the last couple of years in my workshops, particularly if we do like an all-day workshop or a two-day workshop, I'll have people get in groups, I'll teach them differentiation, and then I'll say, okay, where have you seen it on the screen? What TV show or movie have you seen differentiation? And of course, by the nature of these kinds of exercises, you know, most people will share a character that I say, yes, that's a differentiated character. But once in a while, they'll share a character and I'm thinking, oh, that's not a differentiated character. That's a detached character, or that's an enmeshed character. And so I went through teaching differentiation. This is a couple of years ago. And I said, okay, what do you have? What do you see on the screen? And someone said, oh, Ferris Bueller is differentiated. And it really bugged me. I'm like, there's no way Ferris Bueller can be differentiated. I don't agree. I wasn't quite that combative in the microphone. I was probably more polite, but it bugged me. I'm like, what's missing? There's something missing, Ferris Bueller. And it was that final piece. His vision and values for his life is not connected to reality. Look, people, listeners, come on. I don't mind that he's skipping school. I don't mind that at all. But you cannot be crashing a vintage Ferrari. You can't get to do that and be differentiated. That's not okay. That's not reality. Skip school all you want. That's fine. No, I'm being facetious. For those of you who know my love of vintage Ferraris that I'll never own and never afford and don't even want, but I still love them. Ferris Bueller is living in his own reality. Everyone has to bend to his twisted reality in order to play, right? That's why he's not actually a truly differentiated character. He is an entertaining character, don't get me wrong, but not differentiated. Okay, so let's look at these three things. Managed anxiety, I'm not catching it or spreading it. Deep connection to myself, to God, to other people, to my vision and values. And then aligning my vision and values with reality. All right, the first movie I'm going to assign is Hidden Figures. Hidden Figures. If you've not seen this movie, it's the true story, or it's based on the true story, of the African-American women who were mathematical geniuses in NASA when they were first trying to launch an astronaut into space to do an orbit. This is even before NASA put someone on the moon. This is back in the days of John Glenn, those very first astronauts, if you've ever seen the movie The Right Stuff. It's those same guys. But what's interesting is no one knew until very recently that there were a number of African-American women who are mathematical geniuses who made the whole thing happen. They were essential to getting these astronauts into space. It's probably another discussion for another day on why did it take us this long to notice these essential black women. And unfortunately, I think we know why. I think we know why history is predominantly tilted to the white. But Hidden Figures, if you've never seen it, an incredible show. And it really focuses on three black women, Catherine, Mary, and Dorothy. They're dear friends, and they each have to practice differentiation a number of times in a number of ways. So if you decide to watch Hidden Figures, or maybe you've seen it, but you've never thought about watching it through differentiation. My family give me a hard time because sometimes it's hard for me to sit down and enjoy a movie because all my systems theory neurons are firing, right? So I don't mean to spoil movies for you as well, but this is a great movie to watch and see the differentiation at work. This is one of the reasons that I've decided to no longer talk about non-anxious presence, because that can imply like a Buddhist type calm. But actually on Hidden Figures, you see quite a lot of anger and outrage and emotion, but they're connected. That's what I love about it. So for example, let's take Mary. She realizes that in order to continue her path at NASA, she has to go to night school and she can get an engineering degree. She was being minimized because she didn't have the education, but she had to go to court to fight for her right to go to night school. And she had to differentiate with her husband, who was sabotaging this effort at first. He didn't understand it. He was threatened by it, having this incredibly intelligent wife. So he got in the way, and she loves her husband. So differentiation is not about pushing someone away. It's about moving toward them. A lot of people misunderstand differentiation as boundaries. A true differentiation, at least the way I teach it, is a moving toward tool. So she's moving toward her husband, but at the same time, she's like, you're not stopping me. I'm doing this. I'm connected to my vision and values, and those are connected to reality. And she has to go to the court to fight for her right. Then when she goes to class, she's the only black person and the only black woman. And the whole room is looking at her like, you do not belong here. And she has to differentiate and sit down and be exactly herself. It's great. Dorothy, she was the computer programmer who ran a room of women who used to do mathematical figures, pencil and paper. IBM starts showing up with a computer. Dorothy can see it's only going to be a matter of months before all these women are out of a job. I'll be out of a job, so I have to make myself essential to NASA by learning how to program this computer. And her white supervisor sabotaged her every step of the way, was extremely demeaning to her. And she didn't tolerate it. She didn't diminish herself, Dorothy. She stayed human-sized, but she stayed on the mission and became an essential programmer. And of course, the main character in Hidden Figures is Catherine. And man, what a character and what an actor. Just an amazing performance as she's dating that guy. But there's also wonderful moments between these three women, they're dear friends, where they have to differentiate between each other. They have to clarify themselves while staying connected to each other. So many scenes in Hidden Figures with Catherine. Probably the most famous scene is her extremely fiery, angry speech to her boss and a room full of white men on what it's like to have to walk so far just to go to the bathroom. I mean, she is absolutely outraged, furious, humiliated, shame-filled. It's an incredible performance. It's worth watching the movie just for this moment. But I look at that and I say, that's a differentiated person. She's not calm. She's not non-anxious. She's managing her anxiety. She's actually giving the room the gift of her outrage, right? This is the problem with systemic injustice. When you are in a system where you get to benefit from the injustice, not only are you blind to it, you don't want it to change. Sometimes what is required is outrage so you can see what's going on. And Catherine gave that room the gift of her outrage. And of course, then Kevin Costner, I don't remember the character's name, Kevin Costner wonderfully goes over and smashes the sign for coloreds only for the bathroom so she can use a bathroom like the rest of them can. Hidden Figures. Okay, that's the one where we'll do the most detail. Now we're going to move a little quicker. If you watch The Crown, this is not technically a movie. This is a mini series on Netflix. The only thing I'm thinking of in The Crown is season one, when Princess Elizabeth becomes Queen Elizabeth. And she has to differentiate from all of her dad, the king, all of her dad's advisors who are trying to get her to be just like her dad. But she's not like her dad. She's very different than her dad, and therefore she has to rule differently. She has to be true to who she is, her vision, her values. She also has to be true to that era of England. What's it going to take? And there's a number of episodes from Princess to Queen all through season one where you see Elizabeth differentiating. Also, with her husband, Prince Philip, he also goes on his differentiation journey. I think we could argue later if he's really detaching or not. I think he's actually differentiating. I think he's trying to say to her, look, I kind of have to do this my way. But that season one of The Crown, really worth watching for differentiation. Okay, next, The Princess Bride. Come on, Princess Bride, come on. I mean, listen, anytime Mark Knopfler is playing the soundtrack to a movie, it's going to be a good movie. Going Home, great movie, Princess Bride, Mark Knopfler. But what I'm thinking of is Wesley. Wesley, as you wish, Wesley. What's interesting is how he does the difficult task while connecting to a wide range of people. Buttercup, with whom he's in love, the giant, he's on a mission. Nothing can deter him from the mission. He's happy to give his life for the mission. This is often the evidence of a differentiated person. They will sacrifice and do the difficult thing because they know it's what they must do, but they're free to do it. So Wesley and the Princess Bride, I've never made this connection before, but that should maybe ring bells for the Apostle Paul all through the New Testament. The difficult thing that he must do, and he's so differentiated, he's free to do it. He's free to give his life. He's already died in Christ, and therefore he's happy to pour it all out as a differentiated person. As I bounce off the Princess Bride to the Apostle Paul, sorry for the whiplash, everybody, but you can look at Paul through the book of Acts and see him again and again clarifying Peter with racism, standing before those Roman officials, Festus and Felix, and declaring the goodness of God, being whipped and stoned in a crowd and calmly raising his hand and saying, is it your custom to beat a Roman citizen? Like all of these moves that Paul makes. Okay, back to the movies, whiplash over. Toy Story. All right, this one's interesting. Oftentimes when I'm doing my workshops, people will say, every Tom Hanks movie ever. Like when we say, tell us about a differentiated character, they'll say, every Tom Hanks movie ever. That's funny and almost true. I would say that his most recent movie, A Man Called Otto, he's not differentiated. The young mum across the road is the wonderfully differentiated character in A Man Named Otto. Tom Hanks in that is highly, highly anxious, which in his case, of course, looks like detachment. Now, yes, there are many great Tom Hanks differentiated movies, and I'll happily say I'm a big fan of him as an actor. I love his stuff. Forrest Gump, right? Great differentiated character. In touch with reality? Actually, I think so. But Woody, in the first Toy Story, highly enmeshed. And so Toy Story is worth watching because you get to see what it's like when someone goes from enmeshed to differentiated. Buzz Lightyear shows up early in Toy Story, disrupts the system of the toys, and Woody is openly enmeshed and trying to sabotage Buzz Lightyear, even by pushing him out the window. Some say it's an accident, some say I'm not so sure, but Woody is threatened by this other king toy that can do these cool things. And so the whole movie of Toy Story is him realizing, I can make room for myself and Buzz. And then, of course, they become friends. And then Randy Newman starts singing, You've Got a Friend in Me. And then if you want to go to Spotify, one of the finest artists of all time, Lyle Lovett, joins and does a great duet with Randy Newman. Toy Story. Okay, final movie. And this is a movie that's not very well known, even though it swept the awards. It came out in 2015. The movie is called Spotlight. It's the true story of the Boston Globe newspaper exposing the Catholic sex abuse scandals. And what they did is they refused to publish individual sex abuse stories until they could prove that the entire system of the Catholic Church leadership was complicit in covering it up all the way to the Vatican. And that's what changed the world. They released all this in 2001. This is a true story. And then the movie Spotlight really focuses on the Boston Globe's investigative division, which is called Spotlight. Spotlight and the Boston Globe would take one issue and research it deeply. And I think one of the finest movies about differentiation, because a few things. Everybody in the Boston Globe were either Catholic or former Catholics. The Boston Globe was very much a hometown Boston newspaper. So the staff and the key leaders were all Catholics, lapsed Catholics, or former Catholics. But basically, they grew up in the system and they had either a happy or uneasy relationship with Catholicism. Oh, man, can't say it. With Catholicism. But they couldn't see, right? And so it took Marty Baron, this is a real person, who's Jewish, who came in and remarkably, this is a true story, on the very first meeting of the very first day on the job as the new editor, he called them on it. So you'll see that scene in the movie where he's just getting to know his team and there's like 30 people in the room. He's got a big team and he differentiates in that moment, even when they're sabotaging in polite and more aggressive ways. He very calmly says, I don't think we have done enough. I think there's more here to report and we're going to report it. And then very quickly, Marty Baron discovers that Walter Robinson, or Robbie Robinson is his nickname, is a motivated change agent. Walter Robinson, Robbie Robinson runs the Spotlight Investigative Division, takes on Marty's challenge to dig into the sex abuse scandal, and then leads his Catholic and former Catholic journalists to basically research their own friends. You know, like they all grew up in these schools where abuse happened, and then some of their friends now run these schools. They had to differentiate against the Archbishop, against the Archbishop's lawyer. There are so many scenes in this movie where Robbie Robinson and Marty Baron and others have to be true to themselves, the mission God's given them to do, but they stay connected to even these so-called enemies. Spotlight's a stunning movie. Now, I will just give a trigger warning. It doesn't heavily focus on sexual abuse. It's really about the power of investigative journalism. But no question, there is sex abuse in the background. There is some triggering stuff in that movie. But Spotlight, I would recommend anyone watch them. So here are five movies. Now, listen, we could do a whole season. Actually, I've got it in the hopper that we might do more of this kind of stuff because it's just fun. But it's also helpful to watch it before we do it. So today's five movies, Hidden Figures, Season 1 of The Crown, The Princess Bride, Toy Story, and Spotlight. All right, folks, as you know, if you've been listening for a while, we are hosting a conference I'm really excited about, October 2nd through 4th, called the Unlocking Faith Conference. Now, I've talked about it a lot, so I'll just be brief. If you struggle to experience the God you believe in, if you struggle to experience God's love, if you struggle to experience God's presence, or if you really find like the outcomes of your faith to be elusive, like you believe in freedom, but you don't feel free. You feel very bound and wrapped up. You believe in peace, but you don't experience peace. Then this is the conference for you. I'll be speaking. My wife, Lisa, will be speaking. Dr. Chuck DeGroat. We're bringing in Jill Phillips and Andy Gullihorn to both speak and also sing for us. We just find their music to be so beautiful and healing. We're excited for them to join. And two of our Capable Life trainers, Jimmy Carnes and Renee Loring. And what we're each going to do is give you a key, a very specific tool where you can go unlock things that are blocking your enjoyment of God. So capablelife.me is where you can get tickets. We're doing it in person here in Colorado. We'd love you to come and join us here, beautiful Colorado. But you can also grab a live stream ticket. The live stream also gives you permission to watch on demand. So if you can't join us live, grab that live stream ticket. And then once we get all the videos uploaded, you'll be able to watch them. But also a number of particularly congregations are opening up their auditorium and hosting the conference live stream. And you can buy that ticket as well to give you permission to do that. So unlocking faith. And secondly, If you're interested in me coming out and doing a workshop for your team, a half day, full day, or a 2 day, once in a while, I'll show up for 4 days. And what we'll do is we'll gather every morning for 2 hours, and then your people go do their work. And then I'm available for those 6 hours for one-on-ones or team consults. We call it a retreat at the office. So every morning you get a little retreat, a little relief. And then anyone who wants to can meet with me during the day for consults or coaching. But then everyone else just still gets to do their work. So that's kind of fun. Anyway, if you want to know more about that, just shoot us an email, steve@stevecusswords.com, and we can give you information about me coming out and helping your team. All right, folks, that's it for today. We look forward to next time.
For more resources, visit stevecusswords.com or missyoualliance.org. For more resources, visit stevecusswords.com or missyoualliance.org.